Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning is produced here at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Author Faith Sullivan joins us on the phone this morning. She's going to be in town tomorrow. She and William Kent Kruger are doing a reading and conversation, and gosh, maybe there'll even be snacks at Zenith Bookstore. Faith, good morning. It's so great to have you along with us.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you.
I love the description, the little bio that you provided for yourself, where you say that you are a demon gardener, flea marketer, and feeder of birds. Those are the sorts of things that we value here at KUMD, all of those things.
I love it.
You know, I got curious after I talked with you yesterday, and I was driving and I was thinking and I was planning about the interview and pondering, and I realized that authors are not performers the way actors or singers are, and yet they work in private, they work in solitude much of the time so that they can concentrate and they're really in their own heads, and yet authors are constantly being dragged out to read from their work, to perform their work, and to interact with their readers. And I can't think of any group of people that wants more to engage with the creator of an artwork than a reader who's been captivated by a book. What's your take on the whole I became an author and now I've got to be a public speaker thing?
Well, you know, I think writers fall into two very distinct groups, those who love the performing and those who hate it. And I happen to love it. So I love introducing what I have worked so hard to create to readers. And you know, if you have that feeling about it, then it's not a chore.
Well, in fairness, they do say that fear of public speaking actually outranks fear of death for a lot of people.
You know, when I very first began writing books, I felt that way. I would get nervous before I had to read. But my husband was a theater critic, and he interviewed Ethel Merman one time, and he asked her, "Do you get nervous before you go on stage?" And she said, "Oh, heavens no, why would I? I'm the one who knows the words." And I never forgot that. And I kind of feel, well, if I don't know these words, who does?
Exactly. Oh, that is a wonderful story. And that's something I'm going to kind of hang on in the back of my... Yeah, that's one of those little stories, little gems that you kind of hang on in the back of your mind. You have created a wonderful rural Minnesota town called Harvester, and in your newest book, you are revisiting Harvester. In case folks aren't familiar with your previous works, do you want to give us just a little background on the town?
Well, yes. I first visited Harvester in the Cape Ann. And when I was done with that book, my husband said, "You know, I think you should write a sequel to this. You've kind of left your readers up in the air at the end." And I thought, gee, that's kind of a fun idea. I like these people. I wouldn't mind going back. But in writing that book, I had grown so interested in another character in it that I had to write that book first. And so it went. One character would lead me to another character, until I had sort of created a little universe of my very own, and found that that was such a treat, such a joy, such a luxury to be able to go back and not use the same people for my main characters, but to use peripheral characters who kind of interconnected. And how often do you get to go back after you've written a book and enlarge a character or see them from a whole new angle? And so I just loved it, and I've been doing the darn thing ever since.
Do you ever feel when you either read a series of books or read books by an author where they have done that, they have kind of gone back and focused on another character, or a character that they've written about in a previous novel pops up, but they've got maybe a little bit more of a storyline, that it's kind of a good reminder that everybody around us has a full storyline in the real world, not just us.
You better believe it, darling. And another thing about that is that there's any one of us is not the same person to those people we interact with. We're a different person to everybody who has to deal with us. We're not just one thing. And so that gets to be worked upon also. To see somebody as maybe semi-villain in one role and a hero in the next one, because we're multifaceted.
We are indeed. And, oh, there's, what did I read in line the other day? Something about my therapist knows all about you, with the idea that, we aren't always perfect in everybody else's eyes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now we go back to Harvester for the book that you're going to be reading from and sharing with audiences tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The new book is called Ruby and Roland, and it is set at the beginning of the 20th century. Was there a choice? Well, obviously you made a choice to set the book at that time and not in more modern times. What was behind that?
Well, this is a rural story. I mean, it takes place mostly on a farm, although it's just outside of Harvester. And I wanted it to be during a time, well, farming is never easy, first of all, I have to say that. It's a darned hard life. But I think especially in those days, and I wanted, one of the things I wanted to say was how important work is and having work. And so since I was going to be concentrating on work, why not put it in a time when it was really hard to do the laundry or it was really hard to do whatever. And I feel comfortable in that period. I really do. I've used it before, and I was a history major in college, and the 20th century was my century, and so I have a lot of background, or at least I think I do, in early 20th century.
Well, and of course, we're not that far from our parents and grandparents.
No.
Who lived in that time and told the stories about what things were like in that time.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the write-up about the book. There is, and I'm assuming that you've got input into these write-ups, and so part of this is your words or things that you put forward that you want audiences to know about the book. But Ruby is put into a position where she's torn between duty and passion, it says. And yeah. It occurred to me as I read that little sentence that we don't talk about duty anymore at all, unless we're talking about maybe, you know, a novel by the Bronte sisters or a novel by Jane Austen. The historical fiction is where the word duty comes up, but we don't talk about that anymore. What do you think that's about?
Well, I don't know. We have changed enormously as a culture in the last 100 years. And I think in little ways we can see in Ruby and Roland. For instance, Ruby wants to learn to smoke. I mean, she is working on this farm, and the farmhands smoke. She loves the smell of it. She begs one of the hands to teach her how to smoke. Well, in that day, women just didn't, or if they did, it was in, you know, the privacy of their boudoir. And so that was, today a woman, if it weren't so unhealthy, a woman could smoke virtually anywhere. So it was a different world in many ways. Now, having said that, people still felt the same passions then that they do now, and some were forbidden, and we deal with that. I mean, there's one point in the book where Ruby observes it was a greater sin culturally in society. It was a greater sin to divorce than to commit suicide. And I can remember, even from my childhood, way back in the, because I am rather ancient, way back in the 30s, it was a terrible thing in a small community to get a divorce. And so it was a different world. And I think duty was one of those words that was thought of and embraced in that time in a way that, well, you know, when you look at the world of work, for instance, when I was a child, a person often, maybe most of the time, worked for the same company or the same whatever for their lifetime. And that company repaid them by employing them for a lifetime. Today, that's almost unheard of. There is no such thing as loyalty or duty to a corporation. And so we are living in a different world. There's just no question about it.
I can't wait to have you in town so that folks can have the opportunity to talk with you if they have already read some of your books, been introduced to you as an author or to Harvester. They'll love the opportunity to meet you in person. And if they haven't yet, they have definitely got a treat awaiting them. We'll get some links set up so it'll be easy for folks to find more information. Faith Sullivan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. What a treat.
Thank you so much. I loved it.
You betcha. And you drive safely on your way up here, please.
I will do that.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Faith Sullivan this morning, our guest on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.